Hey all, Matt Donald here. So rather than tell you specifically what we're going to talk about this month on the Paleobites Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, which I don't know, it's going to be some Jurassic Park property or some crap. I don't know. I thought instead the best way to advertise this is by playing a clip of last month's episode where I talk about the fever dream that is the Dinoverse books by Scott Simpson. So roll the tape. And then she murmurs the line specifically to the GK Acrocanthosaurus. Again, I cannot stress this enough. A normal-ass Acrocanthosaurus. So kiss me already. I've only been waiting 100 million years. What the hell are these books? She falls in love with a normal-ass Acrocanthosaurus. I'm so angry and mad about this that I'm mixing up these dinosaurs. And I'm a dinosaur nerd. I never do that. She falls in love with an Acrocanthosaurus and then only agrees to get together with the human that's interested in her when this human is merged with the psyche of that normal-ass Acrocanthosaurus. These books are insane! Anyways.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast about stones and bones and stoners and boners.
Stoners and boners.
Yeah, and yes.
69,420. Right?
Yeah. 69 million years ago lived this thing. 420 million years ago lived that thing. Anyways, my name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I had a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by the stoner. No.
I mean, sure, man.
Lexi, yeah. Ryan, how are you?
It's me. I am not stoned, but I am stone cold scared about what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But before we talk about this, I want to ask you a nice really question. So you were talking about having a DD campaign set on the Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So throw a dinosaur into that thing.
Well, it has to be. I don't want it to be aquatic because those are the ones that.
No. It could be just a guest of the Titanic.
Well, I think what would be the best butler dinosaur? Like, what's the most?
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
I know we don't know personality, but
here's aesthetic. What I'm thinking. So you know the violinists who played to Connor?
Of course.
Yeah. So what if you have a Parasaurolophus, the one with the crest?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
He uses like a trumpet to like try.
That's
to do
my
this.
Favorite. But yeah. Can I put him in a tuxedo?
I don't know if you can put him a tuxedo. You can give him a bow tie.
Okay, great. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't know if we could fit in a tuxedo.
Yeah, 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 a bow tie. I was also thinking of like what's. I think we've done. What was the Pendragon or the no?
Oh yeah, Pendrag.
The Pendrag.
That
was
so little. Yes, yes.
Like just a portable little familiar. You
yeah.
Know,
oh, yeah, yeah.
That
I
could
can
fetch
see that.
Me.
This is a magical-ish
you know?
Titanic.
Yes,
story
yes.
Though,
that so. Could that could fetch me. Okay. You know, this and that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be good. And it, yeah, and I feel like if it's smaller, maybe I could put a full tux.
Right. And also
twin tails and all.
It could fit on the lifeboats too, so it wouldn't sink
at
all.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't enough to go around. So
right, no, I know.
I don't know, little guy.
Nah. well, that little guy indeed. But, you know, it would have done its best to help. It's like a good
yeah, oh, yeah.
pin drag would.
Yeah.
And it would eat the lobsters that I was telling you about. Those lobsters. But these guys would have to watch out for this creature.
Oh, deep breath.
Prognathodon.
All right, it's much better when you show me the picture when it's not in the water.
Yes, it's not in the water. That's why I was specifically trying to find one of that for you.
For people listening, I have, what do you call it?
Thalassophobia, but specifically megalothalassophobia.
I don't like big things in the ocean.
Like, you don't mind swimming. Like, you don't mind a pool.
The pool is great. Pool's great.
You don't
lakes
like the
are
beach.
Great. Lakes are great. Beach is great because you're not in the water.
Right.
Once you start to get
so
to
like
the ocean.
Shore.
Yeah. Like the ocean, I am now, back when I was a kid, I'm going in the ocean, all good. Nowadays, it's like, I don't want to get long, past my knees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of
Do you
sharks.
Even put like a swimsuit on then? Or
like, I mean like.
Well, you just wear shorts.
No, I usually wear like a sundress to the beach and then I'll go out and just yeah. hold it up and then beat my knees and then.
Yeah, it's like no swimming today, at least
maybe
on the beach.
It sounds silly, but yeah, it's becoming more and more real fear. And then, of course, now with drone footage, sometimes you get served content on Instagram that's like, look at this beautiful picture of this beach and it's all these people swimming. And then you can see the shadows actually not that far
oh, yeah.
from where they're swimming. And there are these massive sharks. And so.
Oh, sharks are cute. Little sand puppies.
Instagram just loves to scare me these days.
Oh,
and so do you.
TikTok. Yes, I do. I'm
yes.
sorry. TikTok sometimes shares, and these scare me, but they're obviously fake, but they're like CGI stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and they play like a really slowed down version of that song from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah,
yo,
yeah, exactly.
Thieves and beggars.
They do that. I get served that content all the time. It's so spooky. hate it.
So this could be one of the things that's in it. Prognathodon.
We're diving in.
Yes, we are diving in.
No pun intended.
We're diving in. I've been threatening this episode. But one of the reasons as well, not just because it's a Mosasaur I want to talk about, its name kind of sounds like a D&D wizard. Prognathodon the Magnificent.
It does. Did you add the Magnificent?
No, yes, that's not its actual speech.
It's actually lame. It's not magnificent at all.
It's
super lame.
It is pretty lame. Yeah, that helps you, yes.
It's giant and it lives in the ocean, aka
lame.
Lame.
And so it won't
hurt
Lexi. And
I don't care about it at all. In which case, I can't. It's too scary. I also am wondering now for scale, because you know I always ask the scale questions. Like, is this much bigger? So we previously
it's not
done,
as big as Mosasaur. Mosasaur is the biggest one.
The biggest one. So this, is this related?
Yes, it is in the same family.
Okay.
So it means four jaw tooth is what prognathodon means.
Four jaw tooth.
Yeah. So like teeth like back in the jaw.
Okay. Okay. I got it. Okay.
Prognathodon. It probably is pronathodon. The G is silent.
Yeah.
But it's because like compsognathus is the same sort of thing. Natho, it's the same. It means jaw. You know, compies, the little guys. So I'm trying to get all these wires out. So
technology.
So is a Mosasaur a group of squamate reptiles? Squamates are modern day lizards and snakes.
Okay.
So Mosasaurs are very, very closely related. All the different.
What?
Yeah.
Does it? Wow.
They're so closely related to lizards and snakes.
They don't have legs though.
No.
Even like tiny legs, like water.
I mean, they have paddles. They have the flippers, but like. No, and we think they have forked tongues. Like
they have arms and paddles.
They have flippers.
An arm on each side that holds a paddle.
Yes, exactly. That's how they did. Yes.
They're buff.
They are pretty buff. I mean, look, when you swim all that much, swimmers have great shoulders, you know. So
yeah, but they eat the same. Now, when we talk, you
they eat sea
memory.
Bugs. Yes.
So
no.
So mosasaurs and this prognathodon.
Prognathodon.
Prognathodon. Not
yes.
prag.
No. Prognathodon.
They are classified as omnivores, or is
no.
it really just
they are ferocious meat eaters?
Oh, darn it. I was really hoping
they're not
if one swallowed me, they would just spit me out.
Oh, no. Actually, that'd be the worst thing because they have those four jaw tooth.
Yeah, so I'm gonna stay alive until I get to the back of the gullet.
No, you'll be painful. You, even if they don't chew you, you'll be painfully
Jesus
shredded
Christ.
from the teeth
what
in the back.
What are we doing? This is horrible.
Okay, so
you're
size,
like a
size. Here we go. You ready? Size.
Yeah.
Size. It's not that big. No, it's 33 to 49 feet.
No big deal. I'm 5'6", so I can
8 to 12
it.
Meters long.
I can take it. It could eat several of us.
Yeah.
In one bite.
Yeah.
In one clean chomp.
Well, it's cold blooded, so probably would just need one and be good.
You're optimistic.
1.2 to 2.8 tons. T'was a carnivore, ferocious meat eater. Time late Cretaceous, 83 to 66 million years ago. So the meteor did kill it.
Okay, thankfully. Well,
yes.
But it was in the water, are we sure?
Yes. Well, because what happened is like the
The world changed enough. It was extinction level.
Well, because this is what happened. I saw this documentary about it's called Life on Our Planet. It's this really cool documentary on Netflix. It's all about all throughout prehistoric life. So it starts mm-hmm. in the
who narrates that one? Is that Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman, yes. And it has my boy Sign Raptor in it. I'm very happy. It's one
ooh
of the few dinosaurs. Like Sign Raptor is so rarely depicted in movies and documentaries. It's the main character of my Megazoic books. And this one has a Sign Raptor, and I'm so happy.
Excellent.
But so it shows the extinction. So what happens is that when the meteor hits, it creates dust clouds. That's the real killer that blot
right
out the sun for extended periods
right
of time.
Well, people were even say like now, and I know this is a hot topic for you and I with the caldera.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it wouldn't necessarily, that would be the impact on the other side of the globe.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the blast. It would be the dust and
right
the weather.
Which
pattern
also,
changes.
I think I've told you this before, but it's getting more and more apparent that Yellowstone is not a thing we should worry about.
I love that. I was
yes
terrified. I just tensed
yes
up in my chair.
Yes, it is. The whole thing of like, oh, it's overdue for that's not how it works.
In
that's
geology,
not how it works. Yeah.
The year I met you, actually the year before I met you in geology, yeah, I had a teacher tell me about it and he was like, it'll be 64 times the size of Mount St. Helens. I remember leaving that class, mm-hmm, calling my mom, literally crying.
Right.
Like
so
being like, how are we all not panicking?
The National like Volcanics League or some sort of board of scientists about
I trust
geology.
Those guys.
They have a threat level of each volcano in the U.S. Yellowstone is like 50 something of the
okay
most threatening volcanoes in.
Oh,
in,
so we
in,
we should
so
be, we should be way more concerned about some other
Mount
ones
St. Helens. I think is number one for
okay
what's worth, and
which,
and so
which is where
it's in Washington.
It's in Washington.
Yeah.
to the Pacific Rim. It's the Ring of Fire. Yeah. So
no geology nerd.
Yeah, we're paleontology. Well, I'm a paleontology. Yeah. Nerd. You're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
All right. So it blotted out the sun, and then the plankton, the phytoplankton that required the sun, died.
And then the fish starved.
That ate those died. Food chain died.
Yeah.
So eventually got all the way to the mosasaurs like Prognathodon, mm-hmm. and they died. But then also showed the animals that actually had the time of their lives during the extinction were the deep sea crabs and other sharks and those sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because like all the corpses would fall down and then they would just eat them and be like.
Yeah, or what's the name of that one that you can put in your tank and it just like cleans and eats all
like the cleaner shrimp or something?
No, it's not a shrimp. It's like, it's a fish, but it's usually speckled and black.
Oh, yeah.
And it like stays at the bottom of the tank and it just like cleans. It's like a lobster. That's why people used to be like, lobsters are bottom feeders. How could you eat that? I'm like, yeah. Have you had it in butter? Excuse me?
Right, exactly.
Prognathodon.
I say Prognathodon because it sounds like Leviathan or Kraken that way.
Prognathodon, yeah. Whatever he, she wants. He, she, they.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals.
I love that. So they eat these, you said, not krill, you said sea plankton.
No, the plankton's the start of the food chain.
So
the fish that they get eaten by the fish that get eaten by the smaller reptiles that get eaten.
So
by,
they eat
like turtles.
Did they eat like they eat turtles?
Yeah, big turtles.
I like turtles.
Have you heard of Archelon?
No,
Archelon's like one of the biggest turtles we ever know of.
They have a shell. How can they digest that?
Chomp.
Their teeth are strong enough to crack open a
friggin'
No, thank you, sir.
This Archelon's the size of the car, by the way. It's the biggest turtle we know
of. You're shielding me.
No. Yeah, I should show you a picture of someone standing next to the skeleton.
I mean, those are extinct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, although leatherback sea turtles get surprisingly big, and they're not alive today.
Turtles are so freaking cool.
6 feet wide, I think.
Thank God we don't have those, because I'm sure humans would like put a harness on them and ride them.
Oh, no. Leatherback turtles are the ones that are alive today.
Yeah. Oh, no. Do we do things to them?
They are critically endangered.
Hey, any folks out there who've got one of these big, big turtles, hands off.
Stop using straws. Every time you use a straw, a turtle dies.
Yeah, or that, you know. So, there's threats from everywhere these days, but don't sit on them.
Of course, probably not.
Or else you'll be eaten by a prognathodon.
Okay, so, all right. So, location, all throughout the Middle East, Europe, New Zealand, and North America. So, described in 1889, Pop Culture Pinch's Jurassic World, the game, and the documentaries March of the Dinosaurs and C-Rex 3D to Journey to a Prehistoric World. Here's the thing about prognathodon. I mentioned that it bit sea turtles. Even though this was smaller than Mosasaurus, it had a far stronger bite.
Okay.
Which we've calculated, but look at the ratio between the length of the supratemporal fenestrae, which are like the holes in the fenestrae means holes. Have you heard of the term defenestrate? When you launch someone through a window.
No, that sounds like a Harry Potter spell, though.
Well, it's just
defenestrate.
Like, it does sound like, but it's a term where you kick someone out. It's like action scenes when someone's kicked out of a window.
Yeah.
Fenestrate, it means window. And so that's when they have like the holes and bones are called fenestra.
Interesting.
It's interesting when you learn about dinosaurs, like how many of our Greek and Latin words are kind of connected to each other. So
a word detective. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I'm also an English major, so I like knowing the etymology of
things. My mom is always like, be a word detective.
Yeah, exactly. So since this ratio is quite a bit higher with prognathodon's fenestrae than that Mosasaurus, it's believed to have a much stronger bite, up to 11,000 newtons or 2,500 pounds per square inch.
That's a lot of fig newtons.
Yeah.
11,000 fig newtons.
A lot of fig newtons.
Wow.
You can crunch them all with like.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
All right. So 2,500 pounds per square inch sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
And it is a lot, but it's not nearly as much as some of the other animals. Like crocodiles and T-Rex are the two.
They got bigger barks to their bite?
Yeah.
Okay.
T-Rex, I think, is the thing that had the strongest bite of any animal. I think it was like 40,000 pounds per square inch. It's because the T-Rex's head was just meant for crushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why its arms are so little. It's because its head is so big and it needs to balance it. So I've told you about the cookie cutter shark, because it's the strongest one we have.
Yeah,
bites out of submarines and whales.
Cute name, not what you think.
No, exactly. And oh my God, if you look at whale corpses full of cookie cutter bites.
I haven't. I will say, I did recently watch it as someone who has the
thalassophobia.
I did recently see, because I do get served this content on Instagram. I don't know why, I'm sure we're going to get more after today because we're going to talk about it a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's okay. It was like a whale carcass, but it was a group of oceanographers or any, you know, deep sea scientists who were watching this submersible discover this whale carcass. And it was really cool to watch, you know, people who are excited about that stuff. Right. So like there is a
trying
beauty to it.
Transmit your feelings in the, from them.
It was just cool because it was all calm. But or if an elephant seal came up, like cool, cute. But imagine something a little less
cute.
Yeah. Coming up on the screen. I don't need to add to nightmares.
Well, the thing about the cookie shark corpses is that it triggers a whole different type of phobia called trypophobia.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that, but I know it.
I don't have it to a point. It can be a little bit much.
I used to work at Smashburger Corporate with a gentleman who would get coffee in the morning. And when you do coffee and you would froth the milk, there'd be bubbles. Mm-hmm. And he would sometimes get back to his desk and go and like shudder.
Right.
Because he would look at all of the little bubbles.
It's our instinctive fear of holes. It's because
I don't have a fear of holes.
Well, it's because it's the same. It's actually kind of related to thalassophobia, and that's the fear of the unknown. We don't know what's in the hole. Yeah,
but it's your coffee, dude. Like,
yeah, it's just coffee. I don't know. It's something about it. It's like, also maybe it's like from beehives.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a ton of things
that like pomegranates, like beehives have holes like that. You know,
yeah,
like,
but those are logical explanations potentially. Beehives, you know, you get stung, but like I know some people who'd be terrified of a pomegranate.
Right. There's interesting certain things like what things trigger our emotions to. Mm-hmm. Be a certain way to the point where sometimes costume designers or like for movies or like a lot of different things, but they acknowledge it really well. So like in one of the Marvel things that came out recently, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I don't know if you saw it. It was on
Is it the show?
The show.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. So one of the ways that they made you feel instinctively a little bit uneasy about the new Captain America, I read this recently. So if you look at Captain America, the Chris Evans one, his stripes go vertically. When he's on the new one, they go horizontally. And one of the things that makes it makes us think of bugs. It makes us think of wasps.
Interesting.
It makes us think of like those ones with the stripes, like snakes. You know, it's a pattern we intensely feel a bit
uneasy
about.
What's also hilarious, just from a fashion perspective, is what stripes horizontally are actually less flattering generally.
Right. Well, it's also like it was around his waist, is like went down there. Yeah. I mean, it depends on like
it totally depends. But I'm saying from a fashion like black and white perspective, it's just generally vertical stripes elongate you, horizontal stripes widen you.
Right.
So it's more flattering for your figure if you are
that
vertical.
That makes a lot. Yeah. Well, it depends on where you put them. It's because like
that's true.
Because like I've mentioned this. Everyone knows my childhood cartoon crush is Chell from Road to El Dorado. And one of the things is that she.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, and she, and on her top, she has like horizontal stripes.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're making it look, of course, she's probably going to make her boobs look bigger.
Yeah, they're accentuating where they want to.
Because like it's on her chest. So,
oh, yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. That's one of those movies where it's like, I really like it, but you got to recognize the problematic sort of things at the time. It's like, oh, she's the sexy native, you know. That
yeah. For, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely. There's like, I mean, she's actually is still quite feminist in that she has her own agency and she has her own sort of goals.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
She tries.
She's fierce.
Yeah, she is. So, but you got to also recognize some of the things of the time that like a bit problematic. But.
She would probably also still be scared of the Pragmathodon.
Right. Oh, she would be too. Well, and also, I see a lot of things where it's like on TikTok, it's like, which of these girls would you marry or whatever? And it's like, it has like Chell and Nani from Lilo and Stitch.
I haven't seen Lilo and Stitch ever.
Okay, but here's the thing about even though I think Chell is far hotter in terms of Mary, Nani is.
She's got more to work with.
She's got more to work. Well, she's
total package.
And she's also very attractive, but she's a much nicer person.
Yes.
So and like
a total package.
Chell is a good one night stand. Okay. Nani is a good wife, is what I think.
Things I never knew about the. And I guess they're not both Disney. One's DreamWorks.
One's Chell's DreamWorks. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But Nani.
What I never knew.
Well, Nani is like she's Lilo's older sister. It's like that story is really. This is nothing to do with Prognathid, but I can figure out a way to transition into it. So. So in that movie, their parents died in a car accident, and Nani had to come back from college and was like promoted to the parental figure because she was the older sister.
Tragic.
So, and then it's like her struggles with that. And part of the problems I have with that movie is that the whole alien subplot with Stitch coming down is very disconnected from the family
drama.
From
the whole movie?
Yeah.
It's just like an alien.
I mean, like, it's part of it, and like Stitch, the alien, makes it kind of a bit more difficult for them, but it's like, they're too different for me.
Right.
Because like movies I like from that period from Disney, like Atlantis or Treasure Planet, they're more cohesive to me.
Yeah. So that makes total sense.
But Lilo and Stitch is like, oh, this is intense family drama that's like almost uncomfortably real. And then you got wacky aliens.
Yeah, I feel like it's always good to tie loose. I mean, we were talking about this earlier with D&D and how I was had a one shot last night where you got to tie. It's best if you storytelling, you tie the ends together.
Right. Yeah. Now, okay, so but that movie had surfing in it, so they should have to watch out for prognathidin. And speaking of which, there we go. We're back on.
Yeah, there you go. So. I mean, and if aliens are real, then who knows what other kind of, you know, things could be similar coming down from the sky.
That's true. It's true. Exactly. You know, there's that theory that octopi are aliens.
Yes. And I'm all here for it.
Have I told you about how much this is going to edit out, Anna, because it's just so much rambling, but that's just how it is on this show. Mm-hmm. When I went to Hawaii last year, it was 2022. Mm-hmm. There was an octopus lab and they had a bunch of octopus there. And like, they were meant to like study them and like to like have their and like figure out what they can do and stuff, and all the octopi had different personalities, and there was some of them
that's
like
so cool.
Some of them would grab onto you and like they'd have their little full
I don't need octopus.
Yeah, well, and also the thing is they're so smart, but they live such a short amount of time. They live a year.
Do they really?
They only live a year. So like
all,
one of them was all of them, like one of them was said like, oh, this one's an old guy, he's 10 months old, he's getting
even the giant guys.
Yeah,
you're kidding.
1 year they mate once and then they die.
Do they get a lot of spawn for one? Okay, that's good.
So, like, the giant squid, or, like, all the squids, whatever, they all gather. Usually, it's the littler squids, but the giant squids probably do this somewhere else. They all gather in one place, the area they were born, in the light of the full moon, and then they all mate, they all lay their eggs, then they die.
Well, here's the
and
thing,
then
though.
The new generation
so,
comes
I
up.
Eat squid.
Yes.
I won't eat octopus. There is a difference in my mind.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Squid, they both have 8 tentacles, but squid have
squid is
two,
longer and dumber, is what I've heard.
Well, yeah, octopi are very smart. But squid, they have an additional 2 arms that like, as well as the 8 tentacles.
Okay.
So they have like the little,
The little guys up here.
Yeah. So octopi just have the tentacles, but anyways, prognathidin would probably eat squid and octopi.
Probably.
I like it. We're just trying to do anything with not talking about prognathidin.
It's the protein. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Smart. Yeah,
exactly. So you remember how I said that prognathidin is from, we found it all throughout the Middle East, Europe, New Zealand, and North America.
Yeah.
It's because there are currently 12 species within the prognathidin genus. Although, since a lot of the remains are quite fragmentary, it's presumed that with a lot more research, a lot of them might be assigned to their own species.
I was going
to
say, is this hearkening back to some of the things we talked about where it's like this mutual discovery, like parallel thinking, mutual discovery?
Right.
They're kind of the same thing, but two people discover them at different times and didn't.
Well, it's more like that we found them. It's like, oh, this looks similar to this other one that we found from this other place. We're just going to name it that for now. But then.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like paleontology, and maybe that's just how the science works, because. Mm-hmm. It's so old.
Yes.
And so niche.
Yes.
But it sometimes just feel like there isn't enough, like, you got to cast your net wide. When you make a discovery, let everybody know.
Oh, no, for sure. That's that's why I'm totally against private ownership of fossils. They need to be studied.
That seems wrong.
Well,
yeah,
Nicolas
I don't even know
Nicolas
about
Cage
this.
Has a triceratops skull, I think, but would.
But you can, so you're saying you can't own a fossil?
You can. I'm just against it. You can buy it. The scientific community tries to go against
it. Here's a question. So if we know a good amount about triceratops more than other dinosaurs, right? So.
But what if that triceratops skull that they have has something on that we don't know about?
That's true. Maybe if it were up to me, I wish that if I were to purchase one, it has to be like certified through the Paleontology International Board or whatever.
Right. Well, it's like
this is a normal one. You can buy this.
So like T-Rex, for instance, we have so many complete skeletons of T-Rex. It's one of the most well-studied dinosaurs that we know of. So if you got a skull of that, I guess. But even then, I feel like. But you want the authenticity. I was like, you could get a cast of it. You could get like a 3D printed version. But you want the real one.
Yeah, you want the real thing.
Oh, man. Anyways, but prognathidin is basically a mosasaur that like has a really cool name, is a bit smaller than mosasaurus, but has a much stronger bite.
And
so
it's not as scary, I'm deciding today it's not.
It's not. It's very friendly. it bounced beach balls.
Yeah.
So,
it's like a dolphin. Like a big dolphin.
But like the nice ones, the ones we treat well, not blackfish.
Yeah. So, that's true. Dolphins can be horrible.
Well, they can be because they're cornered and trapped and alone.
No, but I also hear in the wild, they're like rapists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Dolphins can too. Also... You know what one of Orca's favorite snack times is up there in Alaska?
Is this a joke?
No, this is real.
Moose. I was going to say human flesh. No. I don't know.
Moose.
Orcas are are mean.
You know, so a giant moose.
A giant moose. I'm sure not a full moose.
You're no, a giant moose.
But you're not going to feed a full moose to an orca. You're going to
look. What's going to happen is that in Alaska, sometimes because like there's all those islands, and the moose are not sea animals, obviously, but they can swim very well. Usually, they swim across rivers, but they can swim across oceans, like small bits of ocean.
So it gets a live moose in the ocean.
Yes, one of the moose's chief predators is orcas. Because the moose swim from island to island. Yeah. Like, so.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's insane. And I don't like orca. I mean, I know we cat. We
You don't like Shamu? You don't like Free Willy?
So I kind of went down a whale hole. Like, you know, when you go on Wikipedia and then you find yourself
a link
like a couple hours later and you've read a lot. So just reading about orcas and just like how we've mistreated them and and then there's some things where I have to question the intelligence of the people involved because there was one, I don't remember the name of it. It's not Shamu, but it's similar to that.
Yeah.
And it starts with an M, I think. And it basically had killed its trainer. Then it killed a second trainer. And then the third trainer came along and guess what?
Died.
It killed the third trainer.
Yeah,
and it's
that was an orca lashing out. Trying to be like, free me, get me the hell out of here.
I think the third one was during a dinner show. So all these people had come to enjoy a dinner.
Oh, and they enjoyed it a bit too. They got their money's worth.
What
did
was it like dragged the trainer down by her ponytail, I think.
To
was thrashing around with her. So she was bruised and drowning and all that stuff.
Oh.
Horrible. But it's just like, respect the animals.
Yeah, it's, well, they only do that because they're cornered and threatened and not treated well.
Thank God humans and mosasaurs or pregnathodons don't live at the same time because I'm sure we'd try and do that.
Well, in Jurassic World, they feed the shark to it.
That's the one in Jurassic World? That's this one?
No, that's a relative of it, one. But no, that's Mosasaurus. So yeah,
that's the one I hate.
Yeah. But it's like they make a show out of it, too. But I feel like that's like a 5-minute show, though.
I just want you to know, when we're rating this, it's not going to get a good rating.
No, I know. Let's get to that good rating and then talk about nicer things.
Good rating.
Okay,
maybe.
So Prognathodon. 1 out of 65 million. I'm going to give it an 80 million just to counteract whatever it is you're going to review it.
You're giving it an 80 million?
Yeah, I'm going beyond the scale.
Oh, my God. It doesn't even have skills. That doesn't deserve
it. No, it does. It's like a lizard.
I'm going to give it 50.
Well, that's higher than I thought.
Not million.
Oh, just 50.
Just 50.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
With like bugs. 50. It's like,
hey, I could go lower.
You could. There's still 49 more spots.
Because it's smaller than a mosasaur.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what I did for the mosasaur.
It was not good. I remember.
But this one is also, 50. Especially because before we started recording, I was shown some videos of some Godzilla-like things coming out of water.
Why is this, whenever I click a picture, it does like a whoop, like a little flash on it? I don't know.
It's like technology. We're getting older, man.
So like, it's
the
like
new stuff.
It's
just glistening.
Yeah, why does it do that?
It's making the it's just glistening in the water for you.
Okay.
See, I don't like that one.
Where it's
that
in the water.
Where it's in the water with the mouth open.
Yeah. Here's a nicer one where it's not. But there's a nice scuba diver.
What I will say is, it's the top one with this. Yeah. What I will say is, some of it looks, the top of it kind of is more alligator like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Shark like.
Yeah, yeah. So like it's like, yeah, it's like a, it's got, it's
if it was shark, it would be, it's more aerodynamic.
Well, aerodynamic, water, aquadynamic.
Aquadynamic. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the term.
I love that.
It's meant to like go through the water and
quickly,
like, and then, like also the whole thing with counter shading where it's like, you ever see like any depiction of the, these creatures? It's like, it's black on top, white in the bottom. So that way, whichever way you're looking at it, like it you can hide it's better. So
no, it gets a 50 though. That's cool and all, but
Nope. I like the name. It's like,
it does have a good name.
It's like in Warcraft, there's like, you have to fight in this one, the Black Citadel, where Magtheridon is the Pit Lord.
Yeah.
It's like one of those kind of names.
This sounds like some D&D shenanigans,
sure.
Like you said earlier, the evil wizard Prognathodon.
Yeah, Prognathodon the Relentless.
The Relentless, the Magnificent. Yes,
in
absolutely.
In his Black Citadel.
But no, 50 for you, sir. Good day.
All right, goodbye day. All right, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd at matthewdonacreator.com. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I changed it. That's how you can contact me personally. You can contact the show at paleobitespod@gmail.com. PaleobitesPod on Twitter. Yes, it is Twitter. Not whatever else anyone else wants to call it. PaleobitesPod on Twitter and PaleobitesPodcast on Instagram. Where can I find you?
I'm on Instagram as Lexi Tate 44.
Yes, indeed. I have book series on Amazon Megazook available for print and Kindle. I could have put a prognathid in it. I put mosasaurs in it. In the second book, there's mosasaurs with torpedo launchers
on
there.
Well, I hope you're happy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I am happy. They're cool. They have torpedo launchers on their backs.
Yeah, are they fighting for the good guys,
yes,
though?
They are fighting
for
the good guys.
Okay, thank God for that.
Okay, yes, they're fighting for the good guys. So,
and then your new book.
Yes, there is no prognathid in my new book.
In the new Tesselnauts, check it out. Super cool.
Yes,
very
yes.
exciting.
Thank you very much. Hopefully you enjoy it.
Yes. I just got my copy today. I can't wait to read it.
Oh, of course. Of course. Thank you very much. All right. That's it for this week. You see the end of every episode of Paleo Bites.
I'm dying.
Prognathodon.
Oh, drowning.
I am Prognathodon the Magnificent.
Don't eat me.
I cast... drown on you. Oh, no, wait. I rolled it on that one. You're safe.
Thank God. That's terrifying.